Welcome, everybody, to For the Love of the Game. I'm Rob Pallante, founder of Mindset Body Bank. I am running solo today. My partner, Glenn, was unable to join us due to some unforeseen circumstances. And today, our special guest, Mr. Ryan Phillips. Ryan, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me on. Much appreciated, Rob.
Ryan, you know, you and I have had a chance to catch up in the past. Obviously, we've got a big event coming up that we're trying to promote, and the event is all around mindset and mental health, mental fitness in life and sport. You know, you've had a little bit of experience in both life and sport and dealing with, some of the mental health issues and as well as mental fitness. So why don't you give us a brief introduction of yourself for anybody that doesn't know, and we'll kind of run on it from there, pal.
Oh, God. Well, I just love talking about myself.
I know. I got to put a cap on this.
I grew up in North Vancouver, BC, like many, young guys, coming up through hockey was my dream. I played lots of sports. Athletics was obviously kind of ingrained into me as a youngster. Left home at I just turned 16 to go play junior and pursue the dream of making it to the National Hockey League. The universe had different plans for this kid, and as things went, all through life experience, I'm very grateful that things turned out the way they did. Absolutely no regrets. Met incredible people and awesome relationships through hockey, but also saw that the dark side, what we perceive as dark, and there's the light side as well. So as it goes, and as as you get older, you look back and you reflect, and I got nothing but gratitude in my heart for basically the relationships I made and the lessons that were learned and that were taught and infused in me, not just as as a youth, but certain coaches and different teammates, and it's a whirlwind of emotions. The game of hockey, the game of life, they're very parallel. Obviously human beings run on our emotions, so being kind of firmly rooted and in our emotions, and having that emotional intelligence to move forward in life is of utmost paramount and importance to our overall well-being. And if you want to get into the mental health arena, of course, I think we're all dealing with something, especially these days. I was misdiagnosed with bipolar about 6.5 years ago, around there. And, that kind of rocked me a little bit, because I was like, bipolar, what is bipolar? I'd heard of bipolar before, yeah. But, when I did, the actual research on it, I was like, this isn't me. And, sure. I was given prescription drugs to combat a so-called disease that I didn't have. And,
it kind of brings up a question, Ryan, when you talk about that. Sorry, pal, and I don't mean to cut you off, but when you say you were misdiagnosed, this is something that I'm hearing more and more about, your good friend, Brent, and Brent Sopel, and I've had an opportunity to speak with him. There's a bunch of other guys that seem to have been misdiagnosed. Do you think that we're putting labels, or we're getting into these clinical situations where doctors are putting labels on things just for the sake of putting a label on it and giving out medications without really doing a deeper dive into, peeling back the onion of what has happened or what's going on?
I've studied psychology for 15 plus years. I think, go beyond that. I've been studying psychology since I was born. At the end of the day, it's, human beings are complex creatures. Mental health is complex as well. How many medications is there out there to treat a certain diagnosis? So at that point in my life, when I was diagnosed as bipolar, I was going through a transition of, I just moved back from the United States of America. I was down there pursuing some film stuff. And, I was, highly involved with the personal development industry. I'd finished writing a book. I was just going full bore with pursuing, certain dreams that went beyond the game of hockey, which, kind of fell to the wayside due to certain circumstances, and then led into another industry that led into certain circumstances. And, you know, at the end of the day, I wasn't feeling well. I was feeling sad, over emotional and whatnot due to a breakup. And in that breakup, you know, a lot of finances fell to the wayside as well. And, you know, when I told the good old psychiatrist, you know, 15 minutes of hearing my a little bit of my story that would probably take a little more than 15 minutes to tell. He labeled me as bipolar, wrote me a prescription for lithium. And I remember, you know, clear as day, my dad was out in the waiting room, and I came out with a prescription in my hand, and the psychiatrist said to me, "You got a long road ahead of you, son." And just so happens that psychiatrist ended up in jail about 3 weeks after that due to sexual stuff with some of his clients. And I don't know whatever happened to him. Yeah. But I did take the lithium for a few days, and it made me sick.
Yeah,
it didn't agree with me. So I was taking something that obviously wasn't agreeing with my system. So I stopped taking it completely.
Yeah. And, what did the idea of having this label of bipolar, because you said, you know, I didn't even know what the hell it was. And now all of a sudden, this doctor, after a 15, 20 minute conversation, is sticking this label on you. Did that have any kind of a profound effect on you walking out of there going, I'm bipolar?
Well, bipolar is, they say, you know, extreme highs and extreme lows, impulsive thoughts and whatnot. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all bipolar, you know. because I lent out lots of money, maybe I made some bad investments, poor investments that I thought might have worked, you know. I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's so complex that looking back on it, I mean, I'm here in the now, in the present moment, knowing that I'm not bipolar. I had to do my own research through trial and error. You know, I found out that it was many, many concussions that I sustained, not just through hockey, you know, getting my head rung off the curb outside a bar one night, falling out of a tree when I was six. I was an avid skateboarder. So I got rocked on the head, on the noggin, skateboarding. I mean, my neurologist said that, you know, I've sustained over 50 concussions, at least. And, you know, so my brain's been rocked, but at the same time, you know, I'm all in for, you know, making my brain optimized as much as I can. And, you know, the core mechanism that was, affected the most was the amygdala. The amygdala is the center of the brain that is the seat of the emotions.
Right.
And so basically, you know, since I would say it was my seventh game into my first year in the Western Hockey League, I got just crushed against the boards, broke my shoulder in three places. Oh. That was my draft year. Broke my shoulder in three places. Little did I know, I was out for about a minute and a half or so before I came to.
Sure.
Never treated for the concussion. Back in those days, that was 1992. It really just wasn't a thing, you know, like you hear about it, but it was like, it was just get your bell rung.
Yeah. And, yeah. Well, smelling salts. Hey, do you know where you are? Okay, good. You're all right.
Well, yeah, I went to the bench, and, you know, my shoulder dropped probably about half a foot. That's a little bit of exaggeration.
Yeah.
But, you know, coach kicked me in the butt and told me to get out there next shift. I jumped over the boards, and I skated maybe three or four strides. I couldn't do it. Back to the dressing room. They cut my jersey off, put me in a stretcher and an ambulance, shot me off to the hospital. We were playing against the Seattle Thunderbirds that night at the Tacoma Dome. There was close to 15,000 people in the barn that night. And it was rocked. And, you know, I only end up playing 25 games that year. And, you know, it is what it is, but, you know, I was, a high prospect at that age and, you know, full of dreams and expectations with myself. And, you know, it's just one of those things that I believe that everything in life happens for a reason, and it's giving me a platform now. I'm very fortunate to, you know, just have the opportunity to be able to share my story and use my voice as a positive where I can actually be going through these kinds of treatments and whatnot, and, you know, be there to, you know, help other people.
So. Yeah. And really, that's why, you know, we've got anybody listening, you know, on July 17th, guys, we're hosting an event that we talked about a little bit at the beginning. Ryan is going to be one of our feature speakers there. He'll be presenting at lunchtime, depending on what time zone you're in. I always refer to Eastern because that's where I am. But it would probably be a little bit it'll be lunchtime Western. It'll be a little bit later in the afternoon Eastern. He's in the middle of the day heading it off. Ryan, you've got a lot of experience in a lot of these different areas, you know, so you've got the hockey background, you've got, you know, some issues with concussions, I've heard you use this term many times, all over the map. And I mean, if there's anybody that's got shit going on all over the map, it's you. You've got so many different projects going on. You've had so many different things happen to you, brother. How do you manage to keep it all together?
I don't know. Environment, the people you associate yourself with is obviously very important. And, you know, it's, you know, you become what you think about all day long. And you also become you take on the dominating thoughts and energy of the people that you associate yourself with. So associating yourself with really positive, like-minded people is really important, I think, to, you know, maintaining a flow and a balance in life. And, it's how big you make it. So it's like in your mind. So, I mean, I do. I have some big projects on the go. One that I'm truly very passionate about that I think has the opportunity to really break open the stigma on a higher level, I would say, with the mental health arena, that will be featuring, it's the bike ride that I did across Canada in 2019, advocating for mental health awareness. And, guys like Brent Sopel will be able to tell his story in there as well. And, some other guys, Jimmy Thompson, a very close friend of mine, who played in the NHL for a short time. Wonderful, wonderful gentleman. So, few other guys, Ron Duguay, he'll be in the film as well. And I don't want to ruin it because there's a few things behind the scenes right now that I'm having to deal with as far as, you know, production and the whole business side of things. And, you know, that's the kind of that's the part of the film business that I don't like, is the business part. The creation part, you know, creating from the formless substance, you know, ideas become realities, turning those ideas into form is what I love do more than anything. But the whole business side of things triggers old stuff when I was in money game that wasn't always fair.
Right. You mentioned your ride across Canada. I was going to bring that up. So thanks for sharing that. You know, obviously not just anybody jumps on a bike and rides from coast to coast. Not your first time you've ridden across the country either. One was in Cambodia. Share a little bit about what you did there, because that really was, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, a bit of a catalyst to kind of put you on a different path.
I think so. I was over in Cambodia in 2012, and we were filming a film on happiness and the mind. And it just so happened I was in a little country called Laos that borders Cambodia, Vietnam, and Thailand. And I got a phone call from an actress friend of mine out of Los Angeles. And she's like, oh, I heard you're doing this bike ride across Cambodia. I heard you're over, you're doing this film about happiness.
Yeah.
I'm doing a bike ride for this foundation that's, giving back to kids that have been enslaved by human trafficking and child sex slavery. And, you know, to me, kids mean everything. It's all about the next generation. I don't believe any child should ever be brutalized, especially sexually, verbally, whatever, you know. And, you know, over there, it's global. It's a global epidemic. I had no clue of, you know, the validity and how, how the brutality of that situation. But I wanted to, shed a positive light on the giving back aspect of it. Turned out to be 21 riders riding across the country for positive change. And so, 3 weeks later, I found myself riding across Cambodia with, 20 other riders. There's 21 of us, and we all formed an incredibly close bond. Yeah. And I realized through that how much awareness can actually come through action.
Yeah.
And, it brought back so much emotions from my own traumas, right. Being, say a commodity in, junior ranks and whatnot, and sure. just coming up and being treated a certain way. Yep. Not like that, but we all know, I'm not going to get too into it. We all know, the hockey culture, especially these days, is a lot has come up,
yep.
Starting even with, with Sheldon Kennedy, Theron Fleury, the list goes on and on and on. Those are just some players that have come out publicly. Yeah. Recently, I'm not going to, drop any names or anything like that, but, the Chicago Blackhawks have been under scrutiny.
Sure.
And, so do your research on that. But, I was very blessed to, be part of something very special. And after hockey, I got involved with the marijuana industry, being one of the, pioneers of that industry in British Columbia. End up doing some prison time. I was sentenced to 24 months. I did close to 18 months, I think it was, just over 500 days. Told that I was never allowed back in the United States of America again. But through the, I would say, service and the act of giving back with an open heart and expecting absolutely nothing in return. But, I did write it down on paper and through the principle of auto-suggestion, which yep. I believe is the medium to influence the subconscious mind, the dominating thoughts that you plug in, so to speak.
Yep.
I had a card that I wrote down. I am so happy and I'm so grateful that I'm allowed back in the United States to see my daughter again, as I have a daughter that resides yeah. in the
which
States.
Which is the other part of this story, yeah. being locked out of the country where your daughter was living,
right.
Having to go through that. And then, actually being reinstated through being a good person and being of service, and what that was like to you when you found that out.
It was, it was almost to the date that I wrote it down on a laminated card. And yeah. I mean, I read that card with emotion and, I took those principles out of a book called Think and Grow Rich,
but
nothing to do with about money. And it was, I followed these principles to the T, put the date, the definiteness of purpose, da, 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 da. And, the day after the ride, I actually flew from Siem Reap, Cambodia to Chiang Mai, Thailand. And I woke up at 6 a.m., I think it was, the next morning to a phone call. Actually, it was an email first. And in the email was, today is the day that we can rejoice. You've been granted access by the Department of Homeland Security as a humanitarian, which I hate that goddamn word. I think I've said this on almost every podcast that I've ever gone on. Oh, yeah, you've got this humanitarian thing going on. I think we should all just be good humans and do the best we can, just to give a smile, hold doors open. You don't have to ride across countries or anything like that. Just be kind to other people. I'm very extreme, so, and I like to push my body too. So riding or whatever, or running or whatever it is, it helps me at the same time too.
Yeah.
I was reinstated as a humanitarian to go down to the States for business and for pleasure. So that happened in 2012. So 9 years ago. And so I got my freedom back. And that was, something that's obviously great.
Obviously allowed you to reconnect with your daughter, not having to worry about that distance between, the border and you can get back or not. You and I have talked about this, just a great opportunity for you guys to reconnect. I got to ask you, where did this passion for bike riding come from? It seems to have kind of,
I love riding bikes when I was a kid, but I'm not a cyclist.
Yeah.
I've rode across.
But you're being known as this cyclist.
I guess so now. I've never been like strapped in, I've worn the spandex and been, suited to boot in, but yeah. Yeah, I rode across Cambodia. It's three times, twice for the eradication of awareness of human trafficking, child sex slavery. Once for mental health awareness, which is in 2019. I also rode across Vietnam in 2013 for human trafficking and that whole cause as well. But in 2019, I did four countries in Southeast Asia: Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, and Laos, and Vietnam. So, okay. And wow. I was like, now I got to, sorry, I'm a little bit tired.
Last night.
Here in Canada and in BC has been a bit of
a little warm, has it? It's a little warm.
I'm running on a little, not so much sleep.
take a second to have a drink, brother. Put some water and coffee in you.
But anyways, I think I did about 10,000 kilometers in 19 across
those countries.
Southeast Asia for mental health.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to get back to Canada, my homeland, and you know, just go for it. So,
and as if the miles you rode across Southeast Asia weren't enough, you decided to come home and, hey, you know what? I'm going to ride across Canada, because
that was 2 weeks later. Yeah. So yeah. I didn't make an announcement about it. I went and I grabbed a few sponsors. I was very lucky enough that there was a company called Bikes for All. They customized a bike for me. And
was it predetermined, or did you just say, no, I just want to do this?
Well, I'm just a firm believer that you don't have to know how, you just have to know that you will. So yeah.
So you came back from Southeast Asia, you're back home in your home country, you're in Canada, and you wake up one morning and say, I'm gonna ride across the country.
I actually woke up after the fourth country that I got across in Southeast Asia, and I was like, I gotta get back to Canada. And I'm going to give myself a 2 week gap.
Okay.
And I'll leave on June 1st of 2019. I'm going to give myself 60 days. And I got a cameraman. We filmed the whole thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, rocked out. I think it was at the end of the day, close to 7,000 kilometers. I took a couple of wrong turns. Google Maps wasn't too kind some days. But, you know, it wasn't about me. It wasn't Ryan's ride at all. It was for the people that suffer in tremendous pain and silence.
Yeah.
And, you know, I met some of the most beautiful people on that journey that were so supportive. You know, Tim Horton, Subway, Freshie, all these, companies were all on board with, you know, providing food, high hostels, you know, huge shout out to them. So, you know, lots of room and board was provided as well. Awesome. It was really just a beautiful spiritual experience. You know, it gave me the opportunity to not only see the country in all its beauty, but also to meet so many people along the way and really connect from the heart to these people that, you know, we're all human. We all go through our struggles. We all have our, you know, I guess it was just, you know, it gave me the opportunity to realize that we all have a bit of ourselves in others. And you know, so that connects.
Well, just to see how, you know, you say, you know what, well, I kind of had a plan. I was going to do this on this date, but just to see it all kind of unfold as you head out on your bike and the sponsors start to show up and, you know, food is provided and, you know, places to sleep are provided and all of that without really having a plan, just kind of trusting in the process. Which is part of what I work with my athletes and talk about. I know it's a big part of what you preach and part of your, you know, your repertoire is, and you just said it, is don't worry about how, just go and do it. And it'll present itself. The universe kind of works in a mysterious way when you put yourself into those situations without overthinking it.
Yeah, I just, you know, exactly. I just, you know, I think the wheel has a very a lot of significance to life. The wheel of life is, you know, obviously we need to be moving forward and not looking backwards in the rearview mirror.
Yep.
And you know, as the wheels turned, you know, every pedal was with purpose, and it was, you know, battling a lot of the inner confines of my own mental faculties.
Yeah.
So as the views were beautiful and the legs were burning, I was, you know, I literally was, you know, living a lot of past experiences, you know, thinking about my daughter, thinking about these other rides that I'd been on and just like, you know, where I was in that moment. And I really miss it. I mean, I'm loving being on this podcast right now, but at the same time, you know, it was, you know, such purpose and, you know, to have that purpose every day. And to know that, you know, that giving up was not in my repertoire.
Yeah.
Never has been. You know, there's been times that I've wanted to.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was one of those things where it just every morning, no matter how much pain I was in, you know, there were some days that I could hardly even move my knees.
Yeah.
But a few hospital visits along the way, bunch of wipeouts, got hit by a car, broke my collarbone. Yeah. You know, it's
I was going to say, what are the highs and lows? You and I kind of discussed that before, and we don't want to give it all away just in case part of it is part of your story that you're going to be sharing on the 17th. But you know what? I'll tell you what I think is interesting. I've recently been reading a book called Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz. And there's a reference in there that he uses about our success mechanism as human beings being related to a bicycle, right? Talk about, you know, how is a bike best used? Well, you don't just sit on it and expect to get poised and success out of sitting on a bike that's not moving. But once the bicycle starts moving forward, right, it doesn't matter where you're going. As long as you're headed forward, it's going to continue to move you forward. So if you think of yourself in that same sort of comparison, man on a bike moving forward, things are happening, success is present, and that's really where, you know, you don't get it by just standing still. You got to be moving, right?
Absolutely. It's just, you know, awareness in action, and, you know, it's how you define success as well. You know, I don't define success as money. I define success as, you know, the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. So as long as you're progressing, you know, towards something that's worthy inside of you, that you think that, you know, has meaning, you know, then that to me is you're on the right track to success.
Sure. And that's connecting with a purpose and with a why. You know, I'm in the same boat, Ryan, and it's taken me, you know, I'll be 52 next month. Almost 45 years up until my accident, when I realized it's not about money and it's not about material things. And when you start to find a purpose that's bigger than yourself, the rest of it just falls in place. And success is, you know, being able to take people down that path and be of service for somebody else or for a higher purpose than yourself.
100%. You know, I took a lot from this world, monetarily, you know, starting in my early 20s with the BC Bud boom. And, you know, I materially, I've had it all. I've had all the big homes and the cars and all that kind of stuff. And it was, you know, it kicked the crap out of me. I still had I had the time of my life, you know, but all started good, and you know, but it didn't really end well, you know. Yeah. It was one of those things that it was all part of the—
Let me ask you, when you're going through those times, because it's something that I constantly kind of reflect on myself. When you look back at your old self, right, in those situations, do you think you knew who you were at that point? Or were you trying to be?
I lost who I was.
Interesting.
You know, through the process of elimination. And, you know, I was never Ryan the hockey player. Yeah. I was never Ryan, the marijuana smuggler. I'm just, you know, I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. I'm not a human being having a spiritual experience. You know, I'm drawing in energy, and, you know, I believe that you're wherever you put your focus, you know, that's where your energy flows towards that. And, you know, I really try to take the path of least resistance these days. And, you know, when you do that and set out intentions, you know, the right people start falling into your life, and then you have the opportunity to choose whether those people are going to benefit you, and then you can benefit them. Right. So I've dedicated my life to world service. I live it. I breathe it. I'm not always happy that I can't do as much as I can in these times right now, but I do think that things are starting to smooth over a little bit. And, you know,
and that's the ability to control the controllables and not worry about things you have no control over. There's some things we just can't control.
Exactly. So, you know, the one thing that we can control is, you know, our thinking process,
right,
and those habitual loops that we get into, those vibrational holding patterns that we get stuck in. Yeah. And I'm guilty of it every day.
We all are.
We all are. And for anyone that says that they aren't, they're a liar. we all got our little quirks. We all got things that we, you know, we're perfectly imperfect at the end of the day. And that means, to me, that means that we're all perfect and that we're all here for a purpose if we're breathing. So if you're breathing today, consider yourself a lucky man, a lucky girl, a lucky boy, like whatever. You know, it's like, have fun with the now, with the eternal now, because that's really at the end of the day, all you got. And, you know, I believe that we're an infinite source of energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're in these bodies with this human nervous system, you know, projected itself through. And, you know, we can really create anything that we put our minds to. It's just a matter of knowing what you want and believing in yourself. And I think it's really important that having that unwavering belief that, that you know, having people around us too, having them believing in you as well, that helps. And, you know, just giving faith to other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, inspiring people and being inspired, allowing yourself to be inspired,
for
allowing
sure.
yourself to receive as well is something that has been a really tough for me because, you know, my whole life was, okay, I left home at 16. I went through this. I went through that. I'm not going to get into all that because I'll probably ruin our talk on the 17th. But
I'll leave a little bit. I just want to tease a little bit out there. But so, you know, look, I think we're at a point where, you know, you have certainly faced a bunch of adversity in your life, gone through a number of different cycles, a realization of, you know, and a connection to who Ryan Phillips is. You know, who you were is not who you are today. And I think for anybody, you know, we have to go through sometimes these adverse situations within our life to kind of put us back on a path to where we should be focusing our attention and our energy, you know, and being a spiritual being rather than, you know, this just, you know, this identifying as this body that we're in. So, you know, as we kind of get close to the end here, Ryan, we just want to let people know, you know, where they can get a hold of you or where they can find you on social media.
Sure. Yeah.
If you're watching here.
First of all, it's not something you don't have to try to be spiritual. You already are.
Yes. True.
You don't have to be a spiritual tryhard. You are. And, you know, like, you don't have to believe in, like, you know, some sort of God. I believe we're all little gods, and there's a source that's, you know, we're pulling through that source. And, you know, once you get into that flow, things start to just happen for you.
Right.
And, you know, it's like life stops working against you, starts working for you in a way that you can be more content.
Yeah.
And it's not about just, you know, just reaching and striving and pushing and pulling. It's more or less letting go, letting in. And, you know, for me, reaching out to help others. And so I am here to help others. So if they want to reach out to me, I'm accessible on, you know, I'm not on Facebook anymore right now. I'm taking a break. But I am on
Instagram. We got your Instagram floating up there.
So Ryan Phillips Warrior.
Yep.
And hit me up on a DM if you're going through a bit of a go or something like that, and I can shoot you over to the right place, because I think it is all about resources these days, and there is a lack of. So I have some very close people in my life that can definitely lead you on the right path to that. If I can do it, then, you know, I can put you in touch with the right people that can.
Yeah. Guys, I got to say, you know, I've had an opportunity to get to know Ryan over the last few months. He's a very unique individual, very high energy, as you could tell. He's got a million different things on the go, but he always takes the time to connect and reach out. And he's always been there every time I've reached out to have a conversation. You're going to want to come back. Sign up on July 17th for the event, Mental Fitness in Life and Sports. Ryan will be one of our guest speakers. It's on July 17th. You can find it at For the Love of the Game. I'm sure we can. There we go. These guys are working their magic on the bottom of the screen here for us. This is where you can find out more about the conference and some of the other speakers that we've got lined up that day. Ryan, I'm looking forward to listening to you speak on the 17th. I appreciate you taking time in this hot, sweltering weather that you're getting to experience out on the West Coast in Canada for joining us here today, brother. Always good to see you. And I'm glad you got the memo about today's wardrobe with the red shirts and the camo shorts.
Yeah, you know, I'm definitely representing Coca-Cola right now, Acid Candler. You know, props to him. I don't drink it every day, You know, I'm trying to get Brent Sopel a sponsor for Red Bull right now.
So that's
priorities.
Awesome, brother. Okay.
And check out his foundation, by the way, anyway. Yeah. Brent Sopel Foundation. So it's pretty cool what he's doing. And, you know, I always like to support my friends. And, 100%. You know, he's a first-class individual beyond the game, especially. So, you know, props to him. Props to you. Everything that you're doing. And I really look forward to connecting in the future.
Awesome, brother. Thank you so much. And again, that was Brent Sopel Foundation. If you want to look that up, Brent is a very good friend of Ryan's, and he's actually introduced us, and he's got another worthy cause. Tried to get Brent on this event. Unfortunately, he is also a busy individual, but doesn't mean we can't support him. So thanks again for your time, and I look forward to seeing you on the 17th.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Rob, and all the best.
Cheers, brother.